Resident Evil.
Please tell me we recorded that.
Yep.
This should be the start. That's how we should start.
This is the start.
All right.
Welcome to another episode of the Campfire Gaming Podcast. Can you tell? We don't record as often as we used to. We're just all over the place. Yes.
We're not all over the place. We're just having fun now.
We're just having a good time. We need to introduce alcohol into these and make it even more fun.
We could. I have a lot of beer downstairs.
As I say, you guys could be drinking, and I have no clue. But
that's true.
I just have water. But yes, another exciting episode.
What has this crew become? It's so raggedy now.
We're undisciplined.
No, we're undisciplined.
We're just a bunch of wild cards.
We're artists now.
Yep.
Got it. So the only drink of choice is absinthe when we do these, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
Should be. Some Everclear. Should we get some of that? Start the party pretty
tequila.
Good.
Tequila.
Well, this is another exciting book club episode, so I'm excited to get into this. Are you guys?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
So should we just dive right in?
I guess maybe a little bit of an intro. If you've been with us for a while, you know what's going on. So welcome back. Enjoy the ride here. If this is your first time listening, spoilers ahead. We talk about everything and anything. So if you haven't played our game of choice this month, which happens to be Resident Evil Remaster, then you might want to hit pause right about now.
I feel like it's been a decade. Maybe it's okay. Maybe this is more of a pique your interest.
That's a decade from the remaster, too.
Not
the game that it is remastering. Yeah,
1996 was not that long ago. Okay, we're not that old. It hasn't been that long.
It exactly. Doesn't feel like it was that long ago. Like, especially getting back into this game, and we can talk about that a bit. But
I think we should. But before we get started, be sure to check out our website, campfiregamingpodcast.com. There you will find all of the links to all of our socials, including Twitter, @CampGamePod, our Instagram, if we still keep that up. I don't know if we actually do or not. And a link to our Discord, where you can pitch your ideas for the next book club. So be sure to jump on there. Start the conversation with us. We love playing games with our listeners. We love hearing your suggestions for future book clubs. It's always a good time. We've gotten some really, really good suggestions in the past, and we love the feedback. So I think each and every one of us at this point has played games that we both, one, didn't think we would like and end up liking, and also played a game that we did think we would like but ended up not liking so much. So it's all over the board.
Looking at you, Tunic, two episodes in a row, we're going to shit on you.
Exactly. I was like, man, I went into this thinking I was going to love this game. And then, fuck, I did not like it as much as I thought it was going to.
Yep. Also, we do still have our Instagram. It's just our social team has not been using it lately. So by social team, I mean me. So.
Yeah, we fired our social team.
Yep.
All right. So with that in mind. Resident Evil HD Remaster, originally released on the GameCube, I believe.
Yeah, 2002, so 20 years ago.
So it's like a remaster of a remaster. I mean, I think we're playing is like an Xbox 360 version of the GameCube version.
Yeah, it's
we're going like six layers deep of remasters at this
point. Exactly. They did the Resident Evil remaster for, like you said, the GameCube. And then I believe in somewhere, 2015, they did the Resident Evil HD remaster, which was just the GameCube version, just 1080p.
Which HD,
sexy and But that's
playable
the one we played.
On widescreen.
Yep. Although you could do the 4:3 if you wanted. That was in the settings.
I did play with that a little bit. as a part. I tried going full original. Oh, let's before we start into that, what did you guys play it on?
I played it on Steam. I actually have all the new remasters on Steam, so that's what I ended up playing on. Or PC, right?
I played through it on my Series X. I was like, man, this thing sits here. I should probably use it.
Yep.
Cool, cool.
How was the ray tracing?
I didn't know.
The light doesn't bounce off of, like, just, you know, pictures of potted plants in the background.
I didn't see anything. Like, it wasn't super flashy. I was like, ah, it looks all right.
Sure.
It doesn't have ray tracing. But it might be HDR and 60 FPS if it wasn't already.
I was going to say, I don't remember seeing ray tracing at all. So,
and I don't remember.
Like, at it? Okay.
And I don't know if this. So I played it on Steam, but I decided for this book club, I wanted to go purely on the Steam Deck. So nice. I played this entirely on my Steam Deck on a mixture of handheld mode and the, like, hooking it up to a TV. So I bought a like a little adapter for this.
Okay.
So I could hook it up, so I could get an HDMI plug-in to go right to my TV and keep it powered and all that good stuff. So I got a little, like, tiny dock for that. Performed actually pretty well. I don't know about 60 FPS for this thing, because on my Steam Deck, at least, it looked like it was basically capped at 30 FPS.
Mm.
I had the FPS monitor running while I was playing the game, and that's all that I saw was 30. And I know that the Steam Deck can go higher than that.
Yeah, I wonder. Well, did you ever check the settings? Because you could raise it. Because I think it defaults to 30.
Well, I didn't change any of the defaults, but I
gotcha. Well, there you go. Just, you could have been playing buttery smooth 60 FPS, but you didn't look in the. This is the second time you haven't looked in the options of a game, and you've been.
That's true. That's true. Exactly. Yeah. I got to look in more of the. I mean, to be honest, though, I did mess with the options for this game, too, because I had to keep playing around with, like, especially the controls for this, because I had to keep swapping. Like, at first I was like, OK, we're going totally old school. We're going to do original 4x3 resolution, the works. And then, you know, partway through playing with original controls, I'm like, all right, let's at least try alternate controls just to see what this is like. And I was like, not much better, but a little better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys run into any problems with the controls?
Technical problems? No. I mean, if we want to get into some of the old school design, then yeah, sure, we got stuff to talk about. So
everything felt smooth. Like, I didn't have any issues, except when it came to playability, and that's not really controls. That's camera design and my brain trying to figure out, like. Like Matt was kind of starting into there, it swaps camera views, and if you just hold it, you can just keep running that direction. But my brain was like, oh, exactly. I gotta run this way now.
No, I don't blame you. I've screwed myself over so many times because it would quickly switch between different cameras.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a tight room with, like, three different cameras in it, and you're like, okay, I want to go this way, but I got to pivot really quick, so I got to go that. Shit, I went the other way. No, I went to the other camera. No. And then you just,
Yep, like, I once got stuck for a few seconds on the stairs because of just how, to your point, Mike, my brain just kept wanting to, you know, switch direction. So I would, but I got in this weird loop for like 3 seconds where I was just going back and forth between the camera as my brain was trying to adjust the controls, when I should have just held it in one direction and would have been totally fine. But
I have a bone to pick with you now that I think about it, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it?
Rich, what was your time to beat? Do you know?
I want to say 11 hours, though I did spend a lot of time in the menus and, like, just leaving the game on. So that might be a little fudged.
Yeah. Well, here, let's real quick too, cause this also might put a peek into why some of us took longer or shorter. Is this was my first time playing it. Rich, you've played this before, right?
Yeah. The thing is, though, is that there are a few differences between this and the original. Granted, I haven't played the original Resident Evil in a fairly long time. So there might be things that I might misremember or cross over or forget that they existed in the original game. But mm-hmm. I know for a fact there are definitely some key differences that some of them I like, some of them I don't. But there's a lot of things that I don't really remember that well about the original that could be in this remake.
And Mike, have you played?
Oh, yeah, I've.
OK, you played before.
Like this game and I have some history, like 96. Is that when we said this came out?
Yeah,
originally. Yep. Like the original. Mm-hmm. So I was like 10 years old. And both of my brothers are multiple years older than me. And this game terrified the absolute shit out of me. Like I was not prepared for zombies at 10 years old, like some people could be. And like up until I was like 15, I didn't want to touch any of these games just because I was that afraid of that initial encounter, because they were playing it in like our living room with this giant bay window. And it was dark, it was stormy, and my brothers, as we were hitting like the labs and stuff like that, were telling me about the stuff that they had read and learned in their grades about science that's actually trying to do this and use it as weaponry. And it was like a whole thing about how zombies are just like, we're months away from cracking this wide open. And I'm like, I'm 10. I've fired a gun and stuff, right? Like I went through my gun safety at 12, but as you hunt and stuff and learn on private land, you get a chance to do some of these things. And I was like, I don't even like, I have no way of protecting myself. I'm friggin' 10. So that's, I played this when it first came out. I had to play some parts of it because they were like, here, play this part. I got to go grab like pizza or something. But I originally beat it, I want to say, on the GameCube version. So like my full playthroughs were starting at Nintendo.
Gotcha.
What is it about your completion time, Matthew?
Mr. I told Matthew. You.
How many times did you have to bust out the Prima Guide?
Hold on. Did I?
I'm not even worried about the Prima Guide. What I'm worried about here is, did you or did you not use a mod to not open the door sequence?
Oh,
I was.
How many
that up.
Minutes? How many minutes indoors did you save?
Well, I read somewhere it averages where a door animation is 7 seconds. And because I'm really bad, apparently inventory is something we'll talk about here, but all the backtracking you do, of course I saved probably 5 hours. Yes. I went out and the first night I tried playing this, I got so pissed off at it because one, I'm an idiot because there's two safe rooms on either side of the mansion. And there were zombies like right in the little areas before you go into those rooms. So me not knowing anything about this game, I just ran by the zombies. So I missed both safe rooms. My own fault. I'm the idiot, right? But with getting frustrated and having a full inventory and not finding a safe room, I got so pissed off at having to sit through the doors because I'm wandering around the mansion like, where do I go? Stuff's locked. You know, you need this key. You need that key. There's this and this. And it's like, I find something. I can't pick it up because my inventory is full and you can't drop stuff, or I'm an idiot and didn't know how to drop stuff. I don't know. So I got so pissed at the doors that when I got off that night, I hopped on Discord and complained that I'm an idiot and I couldn't find the safe room. And you guys pointed out how dumb I was. But I also went out and found a door mod so that I skipped it all. So when I went through a door, it just like a black screen for maybe a second or two. And then it was in the next room. So it was a good time. I highly recommend it for anybody playing this that doesn't have the nostalgia of 26 or 20 years ago, whenever it was the last time you played this.
It used to be on the stairs too. Every time you go up or down the stairs, it would be like,
really?
Slow, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And it'd like walk you down like a little camera hop down the stairs.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do remember. Yep. It did do that too.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, when they did the HD remaster, the remaster, obviously all the game companies were, you know, this was the start. It's a few years into everybody starting to remaster old games, right? And we haven't quite, not all, there was, I think, a few, but we didn't quite get into all the remakes that we're getting, right? Like we did with Resident 2, Resident Evil 2 and 3. But would have been nice if they had, in my opinion, maybe nostalgia, people that played this way back when liked it, but would have been nice if they put a setting just into the game, like skip doors. Like that would have been real nice. Then I wouldn't have had to use a mod, but
yeah. I feel like it kind of removes the horror sense of it. And just thinking back to like playing it when much younger, that next doorway was always a thing. And I think they wanted to keep that because if people, like if they just removed it, maybe it doesn't work as well. The newer Resident Evil games, you just open the door and walk through, right?
Yeah.
With this, right. It's all stop, aim, shoot, slow movements through everything. I mean, you can still run through everything, but it's a slower pace than like 5, 6, 7, etc. So that really adds the horror bucket. And I think if you took those out, it would probably make it less scary.
Yeah. Although I'll
maybe
be honest,
frustrating for sure.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, I'm deep into my 29 or into my 20s. It really wasn't scary at all. Like this game wasn't like I was very much not scared at this game. I don't know how you guys were in, on the fright factor, but yeah, I didn't find this game to be scary at all with or without the doorway setups. I think if anything, I mean, yeah, I can kind of see Matt's point that this could get a little, like, it gets annoying, especially when you're kind of stuck on a puzzle and you're just like running aimlessly around the mansion. You're like, okay, open this door and that door and that door and that door and that door. Oh, yeah. That's not where I needed to go. Go to that door, that door, that door, that door. You know, like, yeah, I can see that being more irritating than giving some like sense of horror. Now on the flip side of the horror element to that, I mean, I've played this game before, so I kind of know where some of the jumps are. I know when the things are going to break through the windows and all that good stuff. So,
yeah, I guess like I wasn't scared, but there was a few times where like, yeah, like the point you're talking about early in the game when you first kind of was it you go outside that little outside the mansion and there was like some kerosene and some plants. And that's where you like see a lot of the barking dogs initially, at least for me. And then you walk down the hallway and they all jump through the window. It was like a jump scare for me. Like I wasn't ever like, oh, like Mike at 10 years old, you know, I was not that scared, but I was that like, I think there was one or two times like, yeah, where it was just like, oh, you just walk around the corner, bam, like, ah, shit, you know, startle you, kind of scare you. But
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's more or less.
Yeah. I ain't no bitch.
Well, my 10-year-old no self. My 10-year-old self is proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
You just, super proud.
Just got you. Just pulled up your big boy pants and went through it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so play as?
Jill.
Damn it.
So did you play as Jill too, Mike?
Yes.
So I did this thing. I didn't know there was a difference, by the way. It wasn't until the end of the game when I kind of went back to look at a few things, you know, with the story that I found out that Chris is a little bit different. I guess plays a little different. But I closed my eyes. I just hit left and right a bunch on my Xbox controller because you guys recommended I play this with a controller, even though I'm on the PC. So I just closed my eyes and just hit left a bunch of times or right, I don't know, and then I hit A, I opened my eyes and I had Jill. So and which one of my complaints and one of my big frustrations with this game was inventory. So I'm glad I ended up getting her because
I was gonna say
one of the big differences between Jill and Chris that I read was that she gets 8 inventory slots and Chris gets 6. And I'm like, God damn, like, and in all fairness, a lot of the my complaints with the inventory is half my problem because I always carried more probably weapons than I should have. I usually had 2 guns and their ammo. You know, so that's my own fault. It was like half my inventory there with weapons. So, and you know, but yeah, no, I was glad I got Jill.
Yeah,
this
so
one. Oh, go ahead,
at
Rich.
Least back, yeah. So at least back in the day, this was mostly a difficulty modifier. So playing as Chris, you were playing as technically on quote hard mode, whereas Jill was easier. I mean, one of the things like, you know, you get the lockpick, so you can just kind of open whatever door would normally require like a small key or something like that. That's something that you got to do when you're dealing with Chris, and the limited inventory space as well. And the fact that you get to start off with a gun, whereas with Chris, you only start off with a knife.
A knife. I was happy I got Jill then.
Yes. But it's kind of interesting though, because at least in this remaster, they kind of did the difficulty in like multiple layers too. What did you pick at the very beginning when it asked you that little questionnaire? Did you do the mountain hike or the walk?
I guess I always picked like you know, for book clubs, I'll usually always pick normal or whatever, defaults or whatever. So mm-hmm. I picked the middle, assuming that the whatever the walk was
easy and the mountain,
was hard. So I just, but I thought I didn't unlock the normal achievement on Steam though. So I don't know if maybe if the combination of the hike and Jill doesn't qualify for beating it on normal, or I don't know. It was really weird. So, or maybe just the achievement on Steam is bugged. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I think that's kind of interesting that they decided to add in that sort of extra layer. And I think for the most part, all that really does is it slims down the amount of like ammo pickups, herb pickups, mm-hmm. and things like that. And I think it makes the enemies a bit tankier as well.
Okay.
And I think you get hit harder.
Yeah.
Is more or less what I think that difficulty curve does.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know. I thought that one was just kind of interesting. And that,
yeah, it was all, again, it was all new to me. So it seemed normal-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So there was only like three options, right? It was walk,
yep.
hike, and climb.
Climb. Or yep.
So I think you're right, Matt, because I got a very easy unlock because I chose walk and Jill. And I was like, very easy. I didn't even know that was an option. So,
gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. I noticed when I went back because I think there's somewhat of kind of a, I think there's kind of a new game plus in a way that now you can unlock costumes or something if you, mm-hmm. you found a, yep. you know, if you found something early on. And I went and I hit like continue or something. It gave me an option where there was a very easy and a very hard or something like that. I don't know. That's what threw me off in the achievement. I'm like, did I just play on? I could have played on easy. Maybe I played on easy. So I don't know. I thought I was doing normal, but yep. I guess all the longtime fans of Resident Evil are probably like, yeah, pick Jill. Of course you played easy, right? You know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to play the Omega Chad difficulty, you know, you're playing climb on Chris. Giggity.
I just wanted to have fun with it. I didn't want to sit there and like strain my way through the game. I was like, yeah, I've only got so many hours of the day to like actually dive into it right now. So it's kind of like, I'm going to play it. I'm going to enjoy it. And it kind of was awesome because towards the end of the game, I got to just run around with a grenade launcher and that was it. So
yeah.
It's a good time. The Magnum too.
Well, yeah. That was just the last boss. I left everything for the Magnum.
Towards the end of it, oh my god, towards the end of it, I did save a bunch of Magnum ammo away, but like I was getting so annoyed with the I don't remember what they call it, like the full name from the crimson zombies, the crimsons,
mm-hmm. the redheads, the gingers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was getting so sick of them running around and beating on me, so I just took the Magnum. And I was like, all right, zombies, I'm not messing around no more. I'm just gonna pop some heads.
Did you light him on fire when you first shot him down?
Not all of them, no.
Okay, because that's how you stop them from coming back to being those crimsons.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I do know that. I mean, one of the things, so this would probably be the first major critique that I have of the remaster, is I thought that mechanic was really annoying. And I think that, like, for the amount of running around that you have to do and the amount of backtracking you already have to do, the fact that you have to go pick up kerosene at a different location, you know, at some location, and you only get two charges for it, and then you have to bring the lighter with you on top of the kerosene bottle, was really obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And so I hated doing it. And so I just didn't most of the time. I just dealt with it.
When I found out you could light them on fire, I lit a bunch on fire, and then like I emptied out one of the kerosene cans. I was like, oh shoot, there's not a lot in here. Like, I didn't know if I should be lighting things on fire, so I probably could have kept lighting more things on fire, but didn't. But luckily, I think early in the game, I lit enough of the regular zombies on fire that I didn't have a bunch of the reds to go, the red zombies to like that came back to get you. But yeah, no, it was as someone who, like I said, I kept too much stuff probably in my inventory that in not enough room to pick up new things or carry puzzle items. It was really frustrating that you had to have two items just to light something on fire. So,
mm-hmm. And I mean, it's for Resident Evil 1, like there is a lot of key items that you need to get, mm-hmm. and I don't remember all of them between the original and this one, but I do know that in both editions, they're there's just a lot. Like, going through that mansion, it is very, very... There's a lot of running around and collecting things that you have to grab. Yeah, now, I think that, for the most part, that gets...
bigger than I remember.
It is weird, it was a lot more complex to, like, get all the roots down for everything. And I think that's something that ends up getting addressed quite nicely in Resident Evil 2, where it's a bit more compartmentalized with into what key items are going into what places. Mm-hmm. So you don't have, like, you know, like a gem that you pick up at the very beginning of the game that's pretty much not used until, like, the latter middle part of the game. You know what I mean?
The tiger eye.
Yeah, you get the tiger eye, and then you can put that in and just be like, oh, cool, like, I can get the shotgun ammo or something like that out of it, but, you know, you don't end up getting the shotgun unless you're towards, I guess it's more towards the, like, the beginning middle part of the game, but, or you end up hanging on to stuff like that.
Pretty early. I think I had it within the first, like, 30 minutes.
Okay. Oh, that was quick. Did you get the broken shotgun?
No, I didn't.
Where you're playing as Jill. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So you can actually Barry ends up saving you if you do right.
Did you get the Jill sandwich line? I don't remember if they cut that or not.
See, I had that happen, and I just saved it, but I had the busted shotgun in my vault or whatever. So I was like, I literally just saved it. So I was just reloaded, went back, and then put the broken shotgun in where the other shotgun was. So so I got the scene, and then I went back, and, you know, I don't know why I did that, but I did. So
yeah, because I mean, when you're playing as Chris, you don't, like, Barry doesn't save you. You have to use the broken shotgun in order to get the shotgun out.
What a bastard.
Stop, I know,
Barry.
You play so much harder to play as Chris.
Yeah,
but fun. I know that, kind of going back a little bit to the Crimson Heads or whatever they're called, that's new. Like, that's new with the GameCube version, because the original Resident Evil did not have that.
Okay.
The most that it, like, so you end up killing the zombies in the original version, and once you get the, you know, the blood pool, then they were dead. Like, they were dead for the rest of the game. It wasn't until you get back into the mansion where you start seeing the hunters come in that a new enemy starts showing up inside the mansion, or the dogs, but, you know, yeah, hunters and dogs are what kind of come in later on. But yeah, that was one of those things that I got, another one of those things that I got really, really annoyed with when playing the GameCube version, is that they did add that, and that they sprint at you and all that. That was just like, it was just, again, like, it was just annoying. It was an annoying mechanic to have to go do another chore to burn the body. Yeah. So that I didn't have to deal with another zombie in the same room that I'd already killed something.
So finding all of those face masks and dropping the coffin down, was that originally a Crimson then, or what was in there?
I don't think that was a puzzle in the original game.
That's what really? My follow up is, I know you had to do, like, you had to kill the plant guy with the pesticide. You had to go through some of these areas.
Yep, but the sharks were in there.
I don't remember it being the face part. I was like, well, what is this part? But
yeah, I don't remember entirely, but that might have been. See now I'm going to have to go and play the original so that I could see what was different between the two of them, because I don't really remember. But I don't remember there being anything to do with masks and a coffin like that. That might have been a puzzle that was added. Same thing with the, I think the stone and metal object, like the umbrella symbol with the stone ring around it. I think that is also added. That's not part of the original game.
The first one or the second one?
I don't think either of them.
So what was it then to open the doors to get down into the labs?
Like I said, I gotta go back and replay that. I thought just a key.
I thought it was just a type of key too.
November's book club is Resident Evil 1 for the PlayStation.
For the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
There you go. So we can
figure out what the differences are.
I'm gonna have to go back and revisit that, because there are quite a few significant changes between that. Like, I don't remember what's her name, Lisa, the Lisa mob.
Oh yeah, the
shackles. Oh. The girl with the shackles?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think she's in the original game either. I don't think that whole subplot is in the original Resident Evil.
Oh, weird.
Yep.
Now I'm curious too, even though I've never played the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, like, I know that they did change quite a bit of the game to just, like, add more stuff into it. But I think what that also kind of did was it added more running around and fetching things and grabbing a bunch of key items and things like that.
Yeah, that was kind of one of my biggest frustrations with the game. Obviously, we chatted a little bit, camera controls. Those were just rough, like, right? I wish that was an area where when they did the HD remake or remaster in 2015, that they spent a little bit more time. I don't know. Maybe they probably just want an HD version so they can resell the game, right? But the inventory, that was just, again, obviously I already mentioned, I got the doors mod, so I didn't have to, you know, that cut down on that running back and forth. But like, even there were times where I'd just grab stuff out, you know, a couple items out of my vault or what, a chest or whatever, and be like, okay, I bet I need these things next. And then I get into the next area and there's like three things I have to pick up, and the stuff I didn't need till a little later in the game. And yeah, it was just a lot of back and forth, a lot of running back and forth. And I don't think it really took away from my experience. It just really, it was really just that first night where I got frustrated with the doors and being dumb and not finding those safe rooms.
Yeah, you kind of need those storage boxes to really succeed in the Resident Evil games.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hope they improve with the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes with the inventory, because that was definitely, you know, I remember having with when we played Biohazard and Village, like, kind of having to keep an eye on your inventory, and there were decisions you had to make, but I never really felt too restricted, like I was always running back to my safe box or whatever, you know, to swap things around.
Yeah, I think for the remake of Resident Evil 2, they keep the same inventory system where it's just like kind of like the little blocks or whatever. However, it does feel a lot, like I said, it's a lot better managed, where like you're not getting so many key items at one point in time. And that was, like, I think, like I said, that was kind of one of the big flaws of this HD remake, is that with all of the new added content, they added in so many key items, like they front loaded the hell out of the key items. And so there was just so much shit you had to collect in order to actually progress, that you were constantly running around back and forth to the storage chest to, you know, put things away, retrieve other things, making sure you had ammo. Oh, I found an ink ribbon. I don't want to pick that up because I don't want to fucking pollute my inventory anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that, like, yeah, if they could have modified that a little bit where, like, just cut, like you said, with, like, the lighter and having to have the canteen as well, or maybe just stacking the, like, ammo on top of the rifle, I guess, excluding the grenade launcher, because they had different types of ammo. But, like, little things like that could have gone, I think, a lot. Or stacking the herbs, you know, the fact that those are all individual items.
You could combine them.
You could. Okay. But I mean, still,
you,
like,
can't have, you know, like a stack of green herbs that aren't combined into something. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just, yeah. So,
or first aid so sprays. Many pockets.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
Okay. What the hell? Okay. One quick question, because I never used them and I don't know, like, I never knew what they were for. What the hell are the med kits for?
Oh, if I tried using those once.
If you open it, it has a. Ground up herbs in it, depending on the flavor.
Oh,
so that's what's inside the med kit. Because every time I examined it just said, like, there's nothing unusual about this.
You have
or
to
something.
Examine it from the top of the box, and it would open.
Oh, I tried to do it from the front. I kept trying to examine it from the front, so I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do with this thing. All right, it's going into the forever storage box.
Yeah, like, typical hoarding me. I kind of saved that. What was it? The health sprays. Like, those were kind of like, okay, let's wait till later in the game because I'll probably really need these, right? You know, whatever. And before you go to fight the tyrant at the end and you're escaping there, I'm like, shit, I better get my, like, all my guns and let me grab a couple of these health packs, right? And I went to go, like, heal myself in the middle of the fight, and it's like, yeah, you don't need this right now. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, I do. I'm hurt. God damn it. Big monster.
Heal me.
Oh, geez.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so, I feel a little dumb now.
Yeah, that's so. I actually figured it out because of playing the previous two Resident Evils that we did. if you examined things, sometimes like it would be like, there's nothing there. But if you flipped it over, it was like, oh, there is something there. I was like, well, I'm just going to examine every side of the stupid box because it has a little, like it's a toolbox essentially, right? Like it's got a little flap. It's got to open. So
that's, see, in my mind, it was just like other games, right? It's just a health pack, right? So I never thought to do that. But I mean, and to your point, for a bunch of the items and to find different things, you do have to examine and twist it around. I was like, I think I had so many herbs and a couple sprays that every time I picked up a whatever health box or health pack or whatever it was called, I never thought of like, let me examine this. I was like, oh, this is just the big guy, right? You know, if you're real hurt and, you know, take this. So, yeah. No, good thing I didn't actually, I mean, I needed it, but good thing I didn't like need it in the fight that I had it with and with the tyrant. But,
mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that's kind of such a weird item.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just me being dumb. Yeah. That I just didn't examine it in the right spot. But like, you know, when you're playing around with those jewelry boxes and you got to click, okay, the button on the side, the front, the bottom, you know, and then you're just like, okay, well maybe I got to click the front. No. Okay. I guess I don't need to examine this, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think some of it was with the messaging, right? You don't need, I forget what it was. It was something like, you don't need this right now. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I don't know how, like, you know, what requirements I need to meet to need this, but it wasn't ever, it like, what was it when you would examine some of the other stuff? It'd be like, there's nothing, you know, to see here or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. The wording was a little different that it didn't, in my mind, didn't, you know, make me think, oh, maybe I should spin this around. So
it was just a little picture of John Cena waving his hand in front of his face.
Yeah.
Oh, did anybody explode in the labs?
Explode in the
labs? Yes.
Oh, from the sprinting? I did. That this was the one question I was going to ask you guys is that, like, did you guys have to flip to the original tank controls so that you didn't auto sprint with the fuel cell?
No, so I was totally fine. I exploded for another dumb reason.
Okay,
we already talked that I might have been playing this on easy, right? Who knows, right? I was already playing easy mode since I was Jill, but. I've definitely made this part harder for me because when I grabbed in that part of the laboratory, I ran all the way to the end through those weird bug monsters. You know, I killed a bunch and got to the end and there was something there that said, oh, whatever, you need a canister or something like that, right? There's no fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finally found the fuel container, I'm like, oh, okay, just go fill this up. I remembered where, you know, I was like, oh, I bet I go fill it up over here. I was right. I grab it. I'm like, I got to take it all the way to the end of that thing again. And I'm totally, totally fine, you know, walking the whole way. There was still a couple bugs I didn't kill for, you know, the first time through. And I get, I'm like, okay, I'm at the last little room there in the laboratory. I'm like, all right, let me go put it in this machine. All of a sudden I blew up. I'm like, what the hell? Well, you're not supposed to take the fuel that far. You're just supposed to go to that first little room there. I'm an idiot. I think that was where I used the Prima guide. The one time I used the Prima guide, I'm like, God damn it. What did I do wrong?
Right. So I was freaking out because I was like, okay, I read the little note and it basically said, hey, if you sprint with this fuel cell, it could explode or whatever the little tool tip on it was. So I was like, okay. I'm like, well, this is interesting. I'm pressing the run button on my controller and I'm like, this doesn't toggle the sprint off on the alternate controls. Like if you're playing on alternate, you can't turn the sprint off as far as I could tell. So I was like, well, this is dumb. I flipped to original controls, the old school tank controls, so that I could walk my way all the way over there so I didn't explode. So I don't know if you're playing on alternate controls, will it explode if you're running around with it? Or like, I don't know. Mike, did you have a different experience with that?
I didn't try it, but I also, like, on the Xbox, if you didn't go full joystick, you walked.
Yeah, that was how mine was.
Although I didn't have to worry, like, there was no alternate for, like, to sprint other than just controller all the way up, like, joystick in a full-on in that direction. Which, by the way, like, this is when I noticed it, but they gave Jill like the weirdest boob jiggle in any animation that I've ever seen. Like, it was just not well done. Having done animation in the past, that's just like, I had to basically like look off to the side because it was just like this really extremely fast for much faster than you were actually walking. And I was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, it's just classic. Did they work with the Dead or Alive team over at, was that Konami?
Well,
that was the era, man. That was the era. They're just unreal. It was very unrealistic.
Okay, so there's jiggly and like unrealistic in that sense, but it's like they put a bone like essentially in the center of like the tip of the model's chest, and then that's just, they move that up and down and let like the vertices that were grabbed by that bone around the edges just shake with it. So it was just a really bad like transformation on the model.
I did not notice that.
No, I didn't notice that either.
I'll have to boot it up and go take a look here.
Yeah,
and play with the health pack too. So
yeah, hey, these are the complications when you're trying to, you know, remaster a game when it only had, when the boobs only had like three triangles on them or something.
Yeah, right.
We're just gonna make the whole thing shake. Whatever.
I'm just thinking how they rigged it. I was like, yeah, that probably makes sense. It was probably old school rigging. Yeah. Anyways,
I don't even think that they had physics on them.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, this is
some
this
poor
is
animators. Mean. Like, yeah,
they were like, hey, can you make these move when she moves? And they was like, dude,
why?
It, like, it's 2002, we have to have this stuff, you know, in there.
Someone will notice that it doesn't
graphics
happen.
I mean, in all fairness, that was probably like what, peak Dead or Alive time, right? You know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there was a lot of focus on video games with physics.
Yeah, that's just, you know, fair enough.
Anyways,
so I'm kind of curious,
skin weights are hard. It's not easy to do, right?
Yeah, I believe it. I'm not an animator, but I believe that that's probably very difficult to figure out. So I'm kind of curious, Matt, your thoughts overall, because this is your first dive into the very beginning of the Resident Evil story, coming from like a weird, I guess you would call it a look into the past before pre-Resident Evil, but takes place way after Resident Evil game, that being 7 and 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts overall on the story. I mean, there's not much there, but
well, I think that this was so. I obviously had my complaints, and in all honesty, it's probably just due to it being an older game, right? You know, it is hard to go back sometimes, even though it's been remastered and some things have been modified. But there was a lot of different aspects to it that I thought were really cool, and I could see why a lot of people said, I think it was Biohazard was kind of going back to the roots of the original, because it had a lot of that same feeling of you're kind of stuck in a house. You're wandering around. Now, you didn't have, you didn't have anybody like Mr. Baker or Lady whatever her name is, chasing you around, right? You know, mm-hmm. through the different hallways to kind of keep it scary. But it, like, the formula was there. It felt very much like the games I played before, just older. And I definitely had a lot of fun with it. Obviously, you know, all the little complaints aside, it was a lot of fun to kind of experience. I also liked the vibe, the kind of atmosphere and theme, because one thing I did do is I did pull up the old PlayStation, you know, some videos of the old PlayStation version. And hey, I mean, it looked cool. But one thing that they did change from 96 to 2002 with this remaster is I felt they went with much better kind of spookier and scarier atmosphere. It seemed, I think some of that is due probably to the fact that lighting improved quite a bit between the PlayStation and the GameCube, and I guess that would have been PlayStation 2 era as well. So I definitely liked the atmosphere in it, and it just added to kind of the spookiness and the creepiness of wandering around this house with zombies and other monsters trying to kill you. It was a good time. As far as the story, I mean, honestly, it was like a little bit of reading, but there wasn't honestly much there, right? You know, this was kind of those, you know, in the 90s, you got, you know, it was rare to get these the stories were online, you know, or in Prima guides or in the manuals, right? That's where like a lot of times the bulk of stories were for games in that era. So I mean, It was fun. I definitely did laugh a few times at some of like the writing and the acting. I'm just like, okay, this is, it wasn't bad, but you know, it was a little goofy, a little cheesy, but.
And you got the context of the Jill sandwich now.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they did, like, yeah, the dialogue is still like, I know that they've added additional dialogue for this game too. And it is still so cheesy.
Yeah.
So cheesy. Just like the original. It was very, very cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially with Barry. My favorite line in the entirety of this thing has been a favorite line since we were like little kids playing this game. It was the itchy, itchy. What the heck was it? Itchy, itchy Scott came, ugly face, so ate him or so killed him. Tasty, itchy, or something like that.
Oh, it's that was just, in one of the letters.
It's
right?
It's it was like fever gone, but itchy, hungry, and eat doggy food. Itchy, itchy Scott came, ugly face, so ate him too, tasty, itchy. Yeah. Like, you're still writing at this point. I love this. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
No, it is nice though too to kind of start. I'm starting to lay that groundwork. Hopefully I'll continue to play through 2 and 3. And in all fairness to our listeners, we probably should pick a Halloween spooky game that isn't Resident Evil next year. But it's nice to kind of get the foundation of the story,
right.
Even if kind of the acting and writing in the game itself is a little cheesy, you know, understanding kind of the, you know, where we all started, I guess you could argue that, cause isn't there, was it Resident Evil Zero, which technically
is
takes a prequel. Place,
well,
is
yeah.
a prequel.
You have Resident Evil Zero and Code Veronica that kind of happen in between, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Zero happens, I believe, before like you get the lead up to Bravo team going into the mansion, so you get to know them a little bit better. And then I think Code Veronica happens. I want to say it happens in between 1 and 2.
Yeah,
but I can't. It's been so long. I haven't touched that game in
I think
well
Code
over.
Veronica is between 2 and 3, or between 3 and 4.
Is it? Okay.
I think Veronica.
I can't remember.
Claire Redfield was the star of Code Veronica, right?
No, it was Rebecca.
Was it?
No, Rebecca was the Zero, because Rebecca's I did watch
Zero,
I watched a story video where it was saying that was kind of the lead up, because I guess events that happen in there, one, yes, where you get introduced to Rebecca and like you said, the Bravo team or whatever. But I guess events there also is what release a lot of those dogs, which kind of kicks off the story for this game when you land in and you're trying to look for Alpha team and then those dogs attack you. So I guess those dogs were released from Zero or Resident Evil Zero.
So the Googler says that Veronica is a sequel
right.
to Resident Evil 2. So it's after Claire was
it's
like
in
going to look
for
Chris. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which spoilers for Matt.
Sounds like we have the next 4 October spooky games picked.
I'm pretty sure there's a decade worth of Resident Evil.
There's a lot of Resident Evil that you would need to get caught up on. Yeah.
Do we talk about 5 and 6? Aren't those universally not?
I liked 5. Like? I'm not going to lie. I thought 5 was good.
I thought
6 was terrible.
This was my kind of hot take, is that I think 4 diverted too far away from the kind of traditional Resident Evil formula. And so it really, really turned me off from wanting to play anymore. So I never finished 4, and that made me not want to play 5 and not want to play 6. Huh. And then when we started playing, I mean, it wasn't until we decided to play 7 that I played it. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of 4 and the direction that took as well. I did really like 5 because it was co-op. Like, I had just a ton of fun playing through that with a friend.
Right. But it completely missed the whole horror element of it. Like, it was not a horror game anymore. It was like Bay helicopters exploding, like action.
First
game.
Off, there were some scary bits in that, like the giant alligators for one, and Wesker punching a boulder. Watching a man punch a boulder like that is terrifying.
Was this probably more of like a third person shooter? It released in 2009, so that.
Yep.
That makes complete sense. That's when, because I'll bet you, isn't that also around the time Dead Space 3 came out and everybody was complaining about that being, well, that came out a few years later.
No, say, it was Resident Evil 4 is what started the trend with the third person over the shoulder camera. And I think that is where Dead Space kind of borrowed from. Because Resident Evil 4 was enormously popular. Like, it was critically acclaimed and it was, you know, it sold.
What are you buying?
Exactly. It sold a gorillion copies. It just wasn't the Resident Evil I knew because I grew up on 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, I really loved the original trilogy. Weirdly enough, I liked the fixed camera angles and things like that, and I liked the style of combat because I thought what was nice about it is that it was a lot more horror and puzzle solvy rather than being just like a straight up action game. Now, one could argue that 3 kind of takes it down that direction to begin with, even 2 to a degree, but it still kind of kept in the framework I was used to. So it was a big like, who moved my cheese kind of a thing. And I kind of got really turned off by that.
Yeah.
I was just looking,
there was around that time, probably the late, what do we call them? Aughts, 2000 aughts, the like 05 to 010, or 10. there was a lot of those, a lot of companies were pushing to do a lot more action oriented stuff. And you saw, you know, different franchises get pushed in directions that they probably shouldn't, right? So that's why I was wondering if maybe 4 and 5 and 6 were kind of probably, you know, publishers where they're like, we want a more action, you know,
shooter
focus thing.
Yeah, I think the technology also changed. Like the technology started to support that a little bit more, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Doing a lot more movement and, you know, doing things while you moved. The biggest like shift for me is the ability to aim and move at the same time. Like I get it, shooting guns, you kind of need to like be still ish but you can walk and do it at the same time. You're not gonna be as accurate. You're not gonna be
right.
And that's what got me on some of these is like the amount of time it took to transition from aiming to running away to the camera changed and now you ran right back into your guy that you were trying to run away from. Like it just all of those things were what I loved about 5 is all of the mobility and stuff like that. Not to say that 1 wasn't good. It just like that change I actually thought was exciting.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely like the I haven't done over the shoulder yet, you know, with that's 2 and 3, right? Or over the shoulder.
If you do the remakes.
The remakes. Yeah, I'll be doing those next.
And I highly recommend it, too, because I think like, you know, this remake in general, my personal thoughts is that this is OK. You know, like it's good nostalgia. But this definitely kind of shows its age a bit. And with the controls trying to be modern, but also play to kind of a classic way of playing the game, it just, it felt like they were kind of in conflict with one another. But 2, holy shit, does it just like, it cranks this up to 11 and just like in all facets, graphical quality, audio quality, atmosphere, storytelling, like the Resident Evil 2, like even if you go back to the classics, Resident Evil 2's narrative was monumentally better than Resident Evil 1. And this is why this is why people remember Resident Evil 2 so fondly, because it just was, it took everything that was really good about Resident Evil and just made it way better. Like it was a truly successful sequel.
Yeah.
So I think, and with the remake, they put all the love and attention and care into it that it deserved. And so it is very, very good. Like, from somebody who fondly remembers Resident Evil 2, I would put this on the pedestal of, like, this is a true, like, this is a good Resident Evil game. Mm-hmm. Even with it being an over-the-shoulder, you know, camera angle, like, it was that game that kind of proved to me that like, it wasn't the over the shoulder thing that I really disliked. It was the fact that like the atmosphere was so different in Resident Evil 4 than it was to say Resident Evil 2, where it was much more like slow and creepy. And it was just horror vibes and things like that. You know what I mean?
And that's what I've really liked about the 3 Resident Evils I've played, right? It isn't some action, it's a lot more, is it what, maybe survival horror? I can't talk apparently,
with the exception of like the Transformers mech battle in Resident Evil Village. that got a little ridiculous for my taste, but it was still cool.
Whenever things got a little chaotic in Village and stuff like that. You know, it was, those were like the majority of the time you're kind of walking around a town or a castle, or was it in Seven? It was the Baker house or, you know, right. It was a lot more of that slowness. And I think what added to the creepiness, I brought it up before, was Mr. Baker, you know, kind of walking around, randomly walk around the house, and Lady Dimitrescu. Yeah, I can't say her name. Whatever. Her. The 9 foot tall lady. You know, those kind of added to that creepiness, because, you know, you'd be just, you know, minding your own business in a way, and all of a sudden she's like, hey, what's up? Or he'd be like busting through the wall, like, come here.
Yeah. And I mean, if you like stuff like that, you're in for a very good treat in Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to play it, mostly because then I'll have played 1 and 2, and then I can finally watch the Resident Evil movie and understand what's going on, right? The new one.
I was going to say, at least the new one. You mean like the Netflix series?
It came out about a year ago. I think it was just called Resident Evil.
Oh, after, like, what is it, Afterlife or whatever?
What was that? No, I don't even remember it.
I don't remember what it was called. Yeah. Aftermath or something like that.
I'll look it up here.
The really shitty one that got
Welcome
terrible.
Welcome to Raccoon
reviews.
City. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The buddy I watched it with, he's like, yeah, they did a really crappy job of trying to tell both the story of 1 and 2 together, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
But
which, I mean, now that you know, like, 1 is, it's weird, because 1 isn't enough to tell, like, a full story, because there's not that much that happens. It's a lot of, like, you running around and piecing together a bunch of puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
And getting some cliff notes about the mansion. And then it's not until you hit, like, the science lab that you really kind of figure out what the hell is actually happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, like, story-wise, again, to me it was good. And some of that is I am able to put things into perspective of this was a story written in 1996, right? So it's not going to be The Witcher or something, you know, some, you know, crazy, right? You know, so it was just like, yeah, okay, you're part of this STARS group. Some team went missing. You go in, and then it's like, yeah, like you said, it's just kind of survive in this weird, puzzly mansion, like with dead things chasing you. And then, like you said, I think a little bit before you get to the lab, you kind of start, you know, get a couple journal entries of something where it's like, oh, we're experimenting and blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah. And all the while, you're just running into weird, weird monsters. I wrote them down here as like bosses, but we're like, was like Plant 42 and Yawn and was it Black?
Those are bosses.
Yeah, I mean, technically.
Yeah,
I mean,
technically.
But they were, most of them were pretty easy, right?
Yes. Yawn is very easy. You just run in a circle.
Yep.
Now,
well, even
with
that
boss, though, like, the auto aim screwed me. I didn't die in that boss, but the auto aim screwed me over pretty bad on that. Mm-hmm. Trying to like turn and shoot Yawn and go. But
I definitely got bit. But
got bit. If you go back to way back in the day, some of these bosses, they weren't so easy to figure out because you hadn't done anything like some of these things, like the plant, you know. You can go fight that. Like, you can go have a fisticuffs with it instead of using
the weed killer.
A different way. Yeah. So, I mean, there's opportunities to still do them differently if you didn't find that item, right?
Yeah.
I think the
plant one was the only one that did that.
Yeah, and kind of to put in perspective, too, like you said, when these were, again, it's a 26-year-old game. Back in 1996, if we have any kids listening to this that are like 18, 20 or whatever, I don't know, teens or whatever, early 20s, we didn't have these fancy joysticks on our controllers. We had analog D-pads.
They actually released a new, like, they did release a newer edition of Resident Evil, the original. It was the Resident Evil Director's Cut. That's the one that I have a physical copy of this.
Nice.
And that's what added, I believe, DualShock support into the game.
The other thing, so obviously we're running around with these old analog controllers and D-pads, right? You know, and I mean, the other thing too, kind of, you know, poke fun at it, but Mike, like you said, we were, you know, you were like 10 and stuff, right? You know, so at that time, like, people didn't have games like we do today, where it's, you know, we have a lot of the experiences to figure shit out. You know, video games were not necessarily new, but, you know, they weren't in the culture, and everybody didn't like have it and experience, you know, games like we, you know, we now, what, 30 some years later, however old we are. And even just in general, kids nowadays have just just access to so many games. So, you know, back then, some of that stuff was hard for due to the technology and due to the fact that, you know, people went outside probably a little bit more and played with sticks and stones and some dirt. So, bicycles, baseball, those things.
Yes, that those things that we did. Yes. We're old, Matt. We get it.
Well, I'm just
trying to keep a hula hoop going with a stick.
Yep.
Tapping it as you run.
Yep.
It's fun.
I'm not necessarily making necessarily a comment, but I mean, even just the era of video games then and the people that played them don't have the exposure and the amount of games and complexity that we're used to now. Right.
Well, like, I mean, that's why I'm kind of curious to go back and replay this to see how well it worked out playing the 1996 version of the game versus playing the remake. Now, supposedly with the remake, a lot of this content that was added was actually supposed to be in the original. It was just cut content.
That makes sense.
Like, some of the cutscenes, some of the rooms and things like that, like, they actually had to cut the content. So I am kind of curious to see how well it plays on the original, to see what's different.
Yeah.
But overall, it's not bad, right? It's kind of it was a fun pick for Halloween.
I had a lot of fun, and it's hopefully going to force me to play the other two.
If
for no other reason, so that we pick something other than Resident Evil next October.
Nope. Yeah. Now we're like, next October, we're starting the Silent Hill journey.
Does it say Silent Hill, or there's a Dead Space should be out by then? You know, there's and plenty of other kind of spooky games, right?
I mean, if we're lucky, well, probably won't be next year. But that Silent Hill 2 remake, that'll be a good one. If they give that the same love and attention as the Resident Evil 2 remake got, oh my goodness, that is going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It's been in development since 2019, supposedly, and it's using Unreal Engine 5, so should be pretty good.
Should at least look nice.
Yeah, but I mean, we could always play the Resident Evil 4 remaster next year.
There you go. See if I still hate the game.
Well, in all fairness, it's crazy. I know we don't do the news episodes much anymore, but yeah, we've had this bunch of spooky games kind of announced and shown recently, where remake of 4 is supposed to go more back to that spookier. I think it's sticking with the third or the over the shoulder, but I think they said they're trying to go back more to the roots of 1, 2, and 3, you know, where it is a little bit more spooky instead of actiony. But again, I have no point of reference on that. So I just trust everything I read on the internet, like everybody else.
Should. As you should. Reddit is the only source of true information. Well, any other thoughts that you guys have about the Resident Evil remaster?
I'm looking at my notes here. I already shit on the controls and the camera. I guess much like the doors, it's funny because I was complaining about it early on, the saving, right? That kind of like it put me in a mode of there was actually a few times where I would save and go, okay, I need to go to this area first. And like, I wouldn't just go running and gunning through it. I'd play it normally. But if I got to a point where I felt like I used a ton of ammo or a bunch of health, or I, you know, got in a bad situation where I died, I'm like, oh, no big deal. You know, I kind of experienced it. So when I went through again, the ink ribbon thing, I wish it was like the doors. I wish there was some way that they had modified that, so you could just save whenever. I would have played a little differently, I think. But I was always like, I don't know if I have enough ink ribbon. By the end of the game, I think I had like 17 whatever ribbons or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So, and for those that don't know, the ribbon is how you save in the game, and it's very limited, and you have to find these items to be able to save your game.
Right. See, now I'm kind of like, I'm really curious. Maybe I need to go do some research on this, but I'm wondering if there was like a technical reason that that's what they decided to go with, or if that was truly like the intended design that they decided to have limited saves.
Resource management. Yeah. I think it had to do it because the game was very heavy on managing resources, making sure mm-hmm. you're not overusing your things, because there's only a finite amount of ammo, and this is from the original, not like in the remake. There's right. only a finite number of ammo. There was only a finite number of saves that you would have throughout the game. There was only a finite, like, it was really to make it that survival mm-hmm. experience from everything that I remember reading about it. Mm-hmm. It was to be desperate. You weren't supposed to be able to just save willy-nilly, because it removed a bit of the difficulty, right? Like, if you could just save it and then go jump into the thing, come back, save it, and just keep jumping back and forth, there was no like risk to the player.
Sure.
Yeah, we were talking about scary. Again, not like I was scared, and this wasn't the start of scared, but there was definitely times where I'd go quite a bit solving puzzles or fighting some monsters and go, I haven't saved in a while. Right? And there's no checkpoint, right? There's not.
Right.
So in a way, that was almost scarier than a lot of other things. It's like, shoot, do I work my way back through this? I know I passed by a couple of these monsters and I got to worry about if I can get through them. Okay. You know, blah, you know, or do I just keep going? And then it was like, well, what if I get into a room and there's a giant spider there or something? You mm-hmm. know?
I think the next game, so Resident Evil 2, they actually grade you. They give you a grade, and that is partially determined as to how many times you've saved the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's like, it's based on both your time and how much you actually saved the game. And depending on your, which is also kind of cool, actually, like depending on the grade that you get, you can unlock different stuff for the game, whether that be like modes or costumes or extra like weapons or something for your next playthrough. Like, it's really cool. I do love what they do with the remainder of the franchise. Like, Resident Evil is such a good starting point, but really truly, like, it takes off on Resident Evil 2. Yeah. So I'm really excited for you to play Resident Evil 2.
I pulled up the screenshot of the result screen that you get at the end of the game. I used 24 ribbons, ink ribbons. So I want to say I had about, if I thought 17, then that probably means I found probably about 40 saves worth of ribbon. I just used 24 of it because I had somewhere around, I thought 17, but I don't know.
I used 28.
Lucky. Nice.
How much ammo did you go through?
300.
Ooh, I went
316. I think mine was like 200 or something like that.
Oh, hold on. You know what? This was early on, but we weren't quite talking about it. I did actually have one more complaint here. I was iffy on if I should spend ammo and killing things, because early on in the game, I definitely didn't have a lot. And by the end of the game, I should have just been blowing zombie brains out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that did bug me, probably more than the red zombie thing coming back, like you said, that bugged you. But shooting zombies was so inconsistent. Now, granted, they're zombies. They're just meat, you know, bullet sponges, right? Technically. But it was just so frustrating where there were times I'd go to a zombie, you know, there was even one time I think I shot a zombie one time, it fell down, it died, and it started bleeding. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Lucky me. I didn't use a lot of ammo. Then there's times where I'm putting 15 shots into the son of a bitch, and he still hasn't fallen over. And I'm like, what? Like, so that definitely bugged me, the inconsistency. Like, I get maybe randomness, or, you know, you paint the orcs on level 7 a different color than the orcs on level 1 or something like that, and then, you know, those later level, you know, zombies take more damage to kill or something like that. But there was nothing. They were zombies. And every time I ran into them, it was like, well, am I going to use 2 or 3 shots, or am I going to use a whole clip and a half? Right. You know, that definitely bugged me. But again, later on in the game, I guess in all fairness, to shoot my argument down, later on in the game, the zombies were the least of my worries. It was the bigger monsters, you know, that, you know, the weird other monsters that you kind of run into later in the game. And by then I was using like a shotgun or a Magnum or whatever grenade launcher to kind of those weird, what was it? Lizard things later on. They were kind of,
The hunters.
Yeah.
They're called hunters.
Yeah. Hunters. And then the bug things. By that point I was so over fighting things, I was like, screw it, and I'd pull out the big guns and
yeah, just start wasting them. Yeah,
I'm just like, okay, just make sure I don't use all my ammo, just in case. Yeah,
you know, I didn't have any I didn't have any incendiary rounds in my grenade launcher like halfway through the game because I was being lazy and not wanting to light them on fire, so I just used the incendiary rounds to do it.
Oh shit! Like, oh wait, what's this about? Okay, what's this with incendiary? Did I not figure something out with incendiary rounds?
Yeah, there's a the grenade launcher can get acid rounds, regular grenade rounds, and incendiary rounds.
Yeah, but you just said you had to light the incendiary on fire or something.
No, I would use the incendiary grenade rounds on zombies. So that it would light them on fire for me instead of running around with the kerosene.
Gotcha. Oh, that would have been smart. That would have been smart. Yeah.
And the acid rounds like slap. They slap real hard. Yeah. Those were like one-shotting hunters, so I was just like going full Doom Slayer through the mansion when I was killing all the hunters.
Yeah.
That's what I did in the lab. I just went like I was like, I'm pretty sure this is towards if I recall, it's towards the end of the game. I'm just going rocket launcher or grenade launcher, acid rounds, and I'm just gonna go ham. Like I cleared out that entire laboratory before I started even working towards like getting the
puzzles
done. The puzzles done. I was just like, let's go.
Yeah, it's the awesome. Was it whenever I fought the tyrant? That was I'd used the magnum before, but that just happened to be equipped when I first ran into it. The very first time when you confront Wesker and stuff like that in the lab, and he tells you all his dark secrets like a good villain, and then the tyrant comes out. I took six rounds with the whole magazine for not magazine was it the whatever. Anyways, all the rounds in the magnum. And I downed the tyrant with just six rounds. I was like, oh, this is a pretty badass gun. Yep. Obviously, he came back, and then I had to use a bunch of grenade launchers up on the roof or wherever that was that you fight him the second time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just kind of unload on him with the grenade launcher then. But
yep. Did you guys ever use the self-defense gun?
No. What was like? I didn't know what that was for. At first, I thought
it's literally just a one-shot, can't reload it gun. I used it the tyrant at the very end because I was like, "Well, I haven't used this thing yet, so I'll just use it." And so I just go, "All right, pop." All right, well, that was it. And so I switched to the Magnum after that.
I thought, "Oh, that's kind of a cool idea," because you have those self-defense. I'm gonna call them self-defense. What like you right? Whenever a zombie grabs you, if you have knives, you can stab them. And then taser. Yep. I was like, oh, cool. This is like the third. This is the final step up, right? It's like a self-defense gun that like I can equip that, and if I get grabbed, I can just pop them in the head, right? No, I was like, oh no, it's an actual weapon I can carry, like whatever. That's like a I have to equip, not a hey, a zombie grabs me, I got one shot here, blow their brains out. Nope.
Yep, it's just the one shot in the one round.
Yeah.
So that was kind of awkward, and it's not a very loud bang either. It's just kind of like I pointed it at the tyrant and it just goes pop, and I'm like, cool. All right, well, need a new gun.
Oh, fun.
Yep. Cool. Well, shall we close her on out?
Yeah, sure.
So.
All right. Well, this was a good discussion. I'm glad that we got to do this for our spooky game. This was a good spooky game.
Yep.
For not being that scary.
We're going to promise this year that next year we're not going to play a Resident Evil game for Halloween.
I'm going to push for Silent. I'm pushing for Silent Hill.
I'd like to make a caveat to that. If Matt has not beaten Resident Evil 2 by next year Halloween,
we have to play RE2 Remake.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. So if I don't play it, it's kind of punishment to our fans.
Yes.
Dude, if we play the remake, it's not punishment.
Yeah. True. Exactly.
Yeah.
I would be so happy to play through that again.
I haven't played like I've seen my brother play some of it, but I haven't played it specifically because I thought we were going to get to it on a book club Halloween. You know, that's my next 10-year plan is the decade of Resident Evil games.
Well, Mike, would you like to announce what our next month, what the November book club game is? I cannot remember the title for the life of me.
Yeah, it's a long title.
I put it down just so
it's a really long title.
It's a long title. Yeah, if my dog will stop trying to yell at whoever's here, hopefully you can't hear that.
It's a Cerberus. It's Resident not your dog, it's a server.
It's November. Resident Evil 2 Remaster. No. So next time we're going to do kind of a Metroidvania type game. It is called Record of Lotus War, Deedlit in Wonder Labyrinth. It's on Game Pass.
That just sounded like they just put a bunch of words into a hat and just started pulling them out. And that was the title of the game.
It was like a manga and an anime and a bunch of, like, I have the Record of Lotus War on the Dreamcast still. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing and reading these things for, you know, quite some time. And this just came out a few months ago, I want to say.
Okay, cool. We have yet to play an anime game.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is, Mike picked this purposely because he knows I'm not a fan, but... We've had a few games that we've all picked in the past that have surprised me. So who knows? Maybe this will be my entrance into anime. You never know. You know these.
I picked this because you wouldn't do Persona.
Well, that's a million hour game.
Game. Yeah,
that'd be like suggesting Witcher.
That's
3.
That's like the next 4 book clubs.
Skyrim. Listen.
You just do 10 days of 9 hour sessions. You got it. Right. No, 10 days easy. To beat the game.
Easy.
Quit my job just so I can play Persona 5 for the book club. Yeah.
Those are 8 weekend days. You could scrunch that in.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we hit 150,000 subscribers to our podcast, we will do Persona.
Yeah.
For one book club.
You've set a goal.
Yes, I have.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, you've heard it here. What was the title of the next game again?
Record of Lotus War, Deedlit in Wonder Labyrinth.
Record of Lotus War, Deedlit in Wonder Labyrinth.
If you just Google Deedlit game, you'll get it. Like it's, all right. It's pretty easy to find.
We'll post on our Discord and our Twitter here. I guess when we release this episode, I'll throw something on the social so you guys can Google it. The good news. We should tell them the good news. What's the good news about this game, Mike?
It's on the Nintendo Switch.
I don't know. It's on Game Pass.
I already said that.
Yeah, he did say that. Yeah.
Oh, I was drinking.
You're behind the times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's on. We're back to Game Pass again. Yeah, we took 1 month off of Game Pass so that we could do Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I feel like we did one before that wasn't Game Pass too. The last time I was.
We've done it before. We've definitely done it before.
There's a couple of games, yeah. Psychonauts was Game Pass. Tunic was Game Pass. What did we do in July?
And Psychonauts and TMNT.
TMNT was on Game Pass.
Little Nightmares was on there too, right?
I think so. I had it on Steam.
I had it on the Switch.
Yeah. But I think it is on Game Pass.
I mean, we don't solely pick Game Pass games.
We just really just like easier. Picking Game Pass. Yeah, exactly. It helps us out a lot. You can try out a lot of games. All right. So let's wrap it up for today, then. Be sure to visit our website, campfiregamingpodcast.com. There you can find a link to our socials, like Twitter, at Camp Game Pod, where we're going to post the title of our next book club game, because I'm probably going to forget it in the next 5 seconds. And you will also find a link to our Discord as well, and we highly, highly encourage you to come and chat with us. We love playing things like Halo when it's favorable, and Hell Let Loose when we feel like it, as well as many other games. So if you're into, you know, World of Warcraft or whatever Matt plays in his spare time or whatever Mike plays in his spare time, we are more than happy to play games with you. So highly encourage you to come visit us, make book club suggestions for future months, because we've already got a couple in the tank, I think.
Oh God, we have, yeah.
Yep, we have a couple of good suggestions in the tank that I'm excited for. And we'd like to hear yours, so come and visit us. And with that said, I am very happy that we got to close out yet another spooky Halloween with another Resident Evil game, and we got Matt to finally play the original Resident Evil.
It's a good time.
It was a very good time. And then, yeah, we'll see you all next month. Stay tuned, and we'll see you next time around the campfire.